Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a beautiful night. We had daylight savings time last week, so we have extra sunlight. It's not dark. It's glorious and glowing. We had a lovely full moon last night. I hope you had a chance to look at it. It's a perigee Mizzisgi moon, meaning it's very, very close to Earth. So it was particularly large. And it is, makes us all really feel that energy of spring. And full moons also evoke in all of us, you know, when you watch the heavens, especially if you're lying on your back or you're outside walking around. I go down and sit by the river. I'm near the river, the East River, and watch the planets rise over Queens, I guess. And the moon coming up was just beautiful. It was really luminous and gorgeous. And the full moon was at the last degree of Virgo Pisces. That was yesterday. And so it said to us, we are now really, really, really leaving Uranus and Pisces. This was the last emotional energy. And it said, we're letting it go. We're releasing. And then today, the sun goes into Aries tonight, about an hour and a half from now. And it starts a new year, a new season. We have the spring ingress this evening. And it says, Aries is here. Spring is here. A new year has begun. And so the moon at the last degrees of Pisces, the moon's at Virgo and the sun's at the last degree of Pisces, they're also squaring the nodes of destiny, which are at 29 Sagittarius North Node, and the South Node is at 29 Gemini. And sitting at 28 Gemini is Hades, which is a Uranian planet, which is the end of things. Hades often rules, kind of think of it as a super Pluto, where we really watch the energy of the change and the energy of the system of releasing. And Hades is the ruler of the underworld. And certainly some of the images that were coming out of Libya today were Hades-like. You know, we're blowing up things and things are on fire. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have Mars go into Aries. And that will, again, set off this point. But right now, today, we're at the sun leaving Pisces and saying, okay, Uranus in Pisces really is over. We're now into a whole new world. And tonight at 7:20 or so, when he enters Aries, he says, and a new season has begun. A new year has begun. And essentially, a new 84 years has begun, because the sun is going to join with Uranus and say, it's official. I have shifted. Now, we know last week when we saw the tsunami on Friday, which was the end of Pisces, Uranus in ocean, water. Water is ruled by Pisces, ocean, water. And Uranus is unstable, unusual, unexpected chaos out of nowhere. And then it shifted into fire. And we saw the nuclear power plant catching on fire and exploding and doing its thing. And we're waiting to see if they're going to be able to stop that meltdown. We will know by the end of the month. If it's going to go, it's going. I hate to say things like this because I always don't like being right, and hopefully I am wrong. I'm fingers crossed I'm wrong. If it's going to go, it's going to be when Mars hits Uranus on the world axis, because we're going to have to deal with the nuclear plant that ran away all by itself through Uranian events, unexpected events, certainly. No fault of anyone's, but saying, you know, we built it on a fault line. I guess the Earth's fault, if we want to blame somebody. But it gives us a vision of the new energy coming in. And I know many people, you know, I've been talking to over the last couple of weeks have been saying, oh, you know, I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, and it's shifted last week. You could feel that shift. You could feel the shift out of Pisces, I'm alone, I don't know where I'm going, to the hell with this, I'm on to my next thing, fire energy. Really very evocative and passionate and explosive. And now tonight, as the sun goes into fire, more directed, and our ego stops feeling, like it's left out or it's alone or it's an orphan, and we become more direct and more straightforward, and we leave winter behind and we say, okay, a new year is here. Time to get the sap running. Time to get the flowers blooming. Time to get the bees and birds migrating. Time, time, time. And we have that energy of kind of really shifting directions. And then at the end of the month, Mars comes out of Pisces, where he still is. And when he comes, that's the one to watch. And he happens right before an event that hasn't happened in 64 years takes place. So I'm kind of looking, you know, like these last two, the one in March, which was the Uranus changing signs for 84 years, never happened in our lifetime, people. The one next month, on April 4th, hasn't happened in two lifetimes. Last time it happened was the 1840s, and it triggered the California Gold Rush, the migration into California that formed the state of California in 1852, because so many people heard about the gold being found at Sutter's Mill that all these people had a dream of being rich and packed up and took off and went to California to find their fortune. And, you know, along the way, some major fortunes were made. Levi Strauss said, hey, all these people in here panning for gold need blue jeans. Let me make some jeans out of tent fabric. But we will see migrations, because this was a mass migration in the 1840s. And we should see a migration, maybe a migration out of California, or maybe a migration to California. But the migration energy will be up as the Neptune Pisces happens, migrating to find a new dream because the old dream, the new dream inspires us, or because it's time to move along. And, you know, I, again, trying not to practice negative astrology, but the migrate, you know, when the Louisiana Purchase happened and we had the migration, Neptune hit that point, that was when we had Katrina. And there was a great diaspora of people leaving Katrina because of the flooding. And now we have a similar event that caused the migration into California. Louisiana Purchase, of course, allowed all of us to take over. You know, we bought the stuff so Napoleon could fund his war, and we got the middle part of the country from France. That's why we speak English in the middle of America. And it kind of started from France. You know, New Orleans stayed a French state, but it was kind of that the French said, here, have it. You go, let's change cities. Let's change allegiances. It's now yours. Now America's instead of France's. And we bought the land. I think it was Thomas Jefferson, if my history serves me correctly, bought the land for very little money. And started this whole middle part of the country. So now we have the echo from 1847 when California was settled for people moving out there to find gold, to find the land of dreams, to find their dream come true. And now we are moving into Neptune going back to the point it was when that... So we know California is going to be active because it was active in the 1840s. So hopefully not an earthquake and not a tsunami, but that the dream will shift, that we will find our new dream. And watch for dreams, because when Neptune shifts, we hit the last degrees of Aquarius right now. So 14 years he's been in Aquarius. And he's wrapping up his Aquarius journey. Now, Neptune's a hell of a lot harder to wrap your arms around than Uranus. Uranus is easy. You know, it's an explosion. It's a fire. It's chaos. It's uncontrolled. It's unexpected. It's whatever. You know, and Saturn's easy. He's oppressed, depressed, repressed, blocked, no, work hard. You know, feel like you're climbing a hill, pushing a rock, and the rock rolls down the hill. It's a very Sisyphean, I don't know if that's a word, Sisyphus kind of energy. Mars, you know we get mad, we get angry, we want to have sex, we want to fight, we want to do something, we want to take action, Mars. And Pluto, of course, we get into power struggles and we work in power dynamics and perhaps a little manipulation and control and a little bit of I own you, no you don't, you know, kind of, you know, those manipulative power struggles where we don't really talk about it, but we can feel there's something afoot. But Neptune's a weird one. And he's, you know, I used to think he was nice. And then I started watching some Neptune transits roll through people's life. And what he does is he dissolves the ordinary boundaries that we live with. And he says, those aren't real anymore. You don't have to worry about that. And no worries. You know, mañana, be happy. No worries. But really, underneath, there is something going on, even if you don't see it. And it kind of dissolves the structure. It removes things. It helps things kind of settle and shift and change. And on a bad day, it's fog. It's water leaks. It's kind of just general mold and mildew and deterioration. You know, if you're having a Neptune transit in your house, a lot of times you have mold or mildew or something like that. And then for the rest of us, where it hits something, it doesn't really do well with everyday reality. It's really good with the non-reality things. You know, so my favorite Neptune story for myself was I had Neptune in my rolling through my first house. And we had a fire in the building, in a bathroom, Neptune, and my line was affected, but I didn't get burned out. I just had a big hole in my wall, which I covered up with my piano. But my neighbors below were burned. So we all got together and we decided we'd have a rent strike and until the landlord fixed it, because he wasn't fixing it. And he didn't fix it. I mean, it really was like almost 2 years, year and a half. And I put... I have a little system with my money. You know, I pay this, I pay that, I have automatic payments. And, like, whatever's left over, I get to spend. Well, I didn't put my rent in an escrow account. And I just had a lot of money. And I'm like, boy, you're really doing well. You know, look at all this extra money. And I just kind of kept spending the money, not thinking, oh, Ann, that's your rent money. Maybe you need to put it in a little separate pile and not, like, leave it in the general fund that you can spend. So, of course, when it came time for the rent to be paid, I was like, shit, I don't have any money. Oh, my God. And I had to really scramble to pull it together. And that's Neptune, right? And I have Neptune in the eighth house, so it's my debts to other people can go into Neptune land. And I'm also trying to be very careful about that because the Neptune in the eighth can cause problems because it's in the eighth house. So for all of us, wherever natal Neptune is, it's about to have a whole new adventure happen as it goes into Pisces and it wraps up the Aquarius and it says, okay, we're done with that. Now we're starting this new journey. And as it's at the very last degrees, at the same time, we have all this exciting new energy with the sun going into Aries and triggering the Uranus, which it's going to set off. Now, the imagery I woke up to on my Yahoo this morning was us bombing Libya. And I have a group that meets at my house once a month, and we were looking at some of the charts from that section of the world. And we were looking at the spring ingress that we calculated. So if you calculate the ingress chart for New York City or Washington, D.C., you'll see, which is at today, March 20th, at 7:21 p.m., you'll see the rising sign is on the world axis at 1, and that Saturn's in the first house, opposite to Jupiter in fire in the 7th, and that the Sun and Uranus are right next to each other in the 6th house. So we're going to see this year have a lot to do with unions and stuff like that rising up, the workers rising up, because Sun and Uranus are in the 6th house. It also can be Sun-Uranus kind of unexpected attacks on workers, which we did see in the last couple of weeks with the Wisconsin stuff and all the people in the streets. And in our general life, the U.S. chart, this is the chart for the year for the United States. It's very much below the horizon, a lot of working on stuff at home, a lot of stuff around creativity and the children and what that vision is for the children in the future. Saturn moon in the first house, kind of indicating a little bit of a depression continuing or a repression. And Saturn is opposite Jupiter. Jupiter's in the 7th. So the external world, the other person is going to be mad at us because it's Jupiter joined Mercury. They're going to be shouting at us. This is very much a shouting and yelling year as the United States relates to the rest of the world. We're going to have Saturn rising. He is in his exaltation. But he loves being in Libra, but he's in the first house, so it's going to be cautious. So we're going to keep hearing Barack Obama too cautious, Barack Obama too cautious. But he also is Saturn moon. He's working with other people. The moon is in Libra, and so it wants to partner with others before running off and doing things. And the Sun Uranus is partnering in unusual ways, partnering behind the scenes, partnering that we don't necessarily see. A lot of adventures overseas. South Node's high in the 9th house. And we're going to have a focus on the North Node in Sagittarius for 3rd. What do we really believe to be true? What's our purpose? And a lot of working with other groups of people, because the 7th house is our open enemies and our best friends. And there's an enormous emphasis on houses 4, 5, and 6, which if you turn the chart upside down, that's the groups of other people and other people's hopes and dreams. We're not really working on our own. But we do have the sun ruling the 11th house of groups. but we're working with other people's groups or working through other people's groups. It's very much a having to partner and relate year. And interestingly, the Saturn return for the United States, our Saturn is at 14, so we're also having our Saturn return. And any of you over 28, 29 have had your Saturn return, and you know how much fun that one is. So we're having, our eighth Saturn return since our country was formed. Now, as part of our, that's what happens this year. We're having our Saturn return. So we're going to be learning how to partner with others and how to work with others. The moon is in the Via Combusta, meaning it's in the path of fire for the spring equinox, meaning people are going to be fiery this year. It's a fiery year, and the moon is also moving really fast. The sun is sitting on the fixed star shit. Literally, there's a shit in the sky, and it's sitting on it, and Uranus is sitting on shit. So we can feel, or sheate, some people say it, but I happen to like shit. It was before that it had the bad connotations. But anyway, sun and Uranus are both sitting on the fixed star shit, and shit is literally shit. It's kind of a dark, difficult spot we can find ourselves in on occasion. And it's in the house of our work and our family and our people and our environment. And it is in the house of the people of the country, so sun, Uranus. We can have a lot of kind of unexpected changes happening this year, according to the solar return, not the solar return, the spring equinox chart. So that's the year. Ta-da. Now we're going to go to the week. You know, we got to micromanage on down. All right, so the sun goes from 29 Pisces, where he is right now, into Aries. He gets as high as 4. He sets off Uranus on March 21st at 8:30 a.m. And he enters Aries tonight. So we can expect unexpected stuff tomorrow in the morning, kind of on awakening. We'll be kind of seeing sun Uranus stuff going on as we do our morning commute, at least on the East Coast. And he also goes forward and he squares Kronos. So he's going to be really waking up, you know, kind of the principle of where what's important to us and where are we going. Then we also see that Mercury has entered its shadow. So pay attention to whatever the story was that you started working on last week on the 15th and the 16th. That is going to be your Mercury retrograde story, and you're going to be working with that baby all of April. Okay, so whoever came knocking on your door then on the 15th and 16th when Mercury entered its shadow and you maybe got some news or some information, that's the April story while he's retrograde in Aries. And so he goes from 17 to 22, doesn't have an enormous amount of aspects, but he does set off the goddess of discord on Thursday by joining to her. So we can expect a little discordant noise. And he also is semi-square to Chiron tonight. And he is talking to Chiron and saying to him, hey, you know, what are we, I want to do this, but I'm not feeling 100% up to it. So there's a little bit of a dissatisfaction around how well we're healing or how well we're getting along. Venus is particularly active this week. She is in Aquarius, which makes her be detached and cool and a little chilly on a bad day. But on a good day, she's strategic and she's, you know, she's evaluating. She's actually, when she's in Aquarius, she's kind of a free love girl. One of my students came by the other day and said, oh, I have Venus in Aquarius this year. That means I'm going to have a lot of hookups, huh? But not a lot of commitment. And I kind of went, yeah, that's a way to think of it. Venus in Aquarius is you want to connect, but you connect with weird people that you wouldn't necessarily normally talk to. And so she's in Aquarius now. So in our solar return or our spring equinox chart, we're going to have a lot of hookups with people we didn't normally talk to. Strange bedfellows, as my mother would say. But we are also going to be interested in working with people that think alike or have similar visions to us. And I remember reading an interview with Bono, and he was talking, you know, people were criticizing him for something. He was organizing something, and he was running around getting people to pay it. I think it was releasing the debt for Africa. And he was like, you know, don't give me a hard time. He said, what I do is I go to the person, and I know what they would make them want to participate. You know, so in the case of the religious people, you say God would want you to do it. In the case of the people that want a lot of publicity, you say you're going to get a lot of publicity. And I pitch to them based on what they want or what they can, what would make them want to get behind it and would make them happy. He says, I don't think that's bad. I think that's, or I don't think it's pandering. I think it's working with people productively. And so Venus in Aquarius works with people productively, even if she doesn't necessarily like them. And it goes from 21 Aquarius to 29 Aquarius. And it has a number of aspects this week. She is a really busy girl. She is talking to Pluto. She's talking to Sedna. She's talking to Admetos. She's talking to the nodes of destiny. So you're going to really watch who you connect to and who you talk to, culminating with when she joins with Neptune on the 26th to say to you, what's your vision of your dream? What's the dream that's going to carry you for the next 14 years? What was your dream from the last 14 years? Let's look at that vision, and now let's go forward with the new dream. And so a lot of us, a lot of the conversations I've been having with people are, finish up your dream. Figure out what your dream was. Where are you in it? Are the parts you don't want and you do want? Which pieces do you want to keep? Get rid of the ones you don't want. I got little dots to stick on stuff, you know, to say this can go, this can go, this can go, because it's hard for me to pack it up, but I can pick a dot, put a dot on it. And my assistant's going to pack it up, and we're going to send it out. It's an Aquarian energy, so it is a detached way of looking at things. So put dots on things that you don't want anymore and send them off to Goodwill, you know, cosmologically, mentally. Write it down on a piece of paper, release it, you know, let it release as this sun transitions out of Pisces into Aries and says, let's go. And you can burn it and throw the ashes on the water, or you can meditate and release it, or you can simply say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I am now going to change this, because sun in Aries gives us permission to change and to start anew. Mars has minimal travel this time. He goes from 20 Pisces to 24, so he's a little pokey, and he's not doing a whole lot of stuff. Jupiter is got some health aspects, so we can have a little health challenge this week. Saturn is having a fight with Neptune, and the two of them are saying, you know, this was my dream, and now it's gone, and you're not very nice to me. And Saturn is also having a fight with the mother principle, or the nurturing principle. That's something that you may be really nurtured didn't turn out quite the way you wanted it to, and that's okay. It's just not the way you wanted it, and you just have to say, okay, well, I tried, and it came out this way, and that's where it is. And I'm not going to give it a hard time, because it is what it is. We can find with this aspect a bit of over-mothering or a bit of bossing around, where people say to you, you know, I think what you need to do is this. I had somebody today, a lovely person who brought me tulips, who will remain nameless, but she's a delightful client, and she appeared with the big Baxter tulips, and she said to her that her therapist had said to her she was an underachiever. And I'm like, well, what does that mean, right? And it's the authority, Saturn, criticizing, without actually being very clear, Neptune, what they mean. So pin them down, right? And I've heard a lot of this lately. Well, they said this and this. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. But they've made a negative assumption about it. My sister, she's a basketball coach. Her new athletic director said to her, you're the most competitive woman I've ever met. And so she says this to me. Now, clearly she put a negative spin on it. And I said, well, what does he mean by that? She goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, what do you think it was, good or bad? She said, well, I thought it was bad. I said, you're supposed to be competitive. You're a basketball coach for a Division I university. You know, NCAA Division I, you're supposed to be competitive person and a competitive woman, and what would he, you know, but it's, we assume the negative. So when someone says something negative to you this week, inquire what they meant by it. Clarify, don't assume, never assume. Remember Felix and Oscar, it makes an ass out of you and me. So, but this week we are going to have a lot of assumptions. People are going to make assumptions about stuff. So clarify the assumptions. Clarify when your authority says to you, you know, I'm really deeply disappointed in this. And you hear, I'm really deeply, deeply disappointed in you. Have your authority clarify what I mean by that is, or inquire what they mean by it. Don't just assume, but do recognize it is going to set off a sensitive part of your chart, okay? We were working on some astrology stuff this week and with my advanced beginner class, and we got to a chart that we got to midpoints, and you can really see the path of your life looking at your midpoints using a 90-degree sort. And one of my students got a little freaked out. And she's like one of my smart students. And I knew she jumped way ahead. You know, she got like real far afield, but she got into a little mucky section in her life. And it was like, no, no, don't go assuming all the negative. Come up with a positive, couple positive visions of what that can be. And we can all make negative assumptions this week. we're all going to want to go to the negative. So go to the positive. Go to the vision. Go to the, well, that maybe didn't really work out the way I wanted it to, but what did I learn? I learned all this cool stuff, so now let me go do this other thing. Neptune joins with Ceres this month, this week, on March 20th. This is, again, a once every 100, every four-year or five-year transit. But Neptune is at the last degree. So this also marks a major revision or a major understanding in how you feel about mothering. Ceres enters Pisces next week on March 21st, which is a kind of a little excitement and kind of kicks it up. And we also have Cupido stationing. Now, when Cupido stations, he stations and he often asks us to revise our families or our tribes. He says to us, that tribe is really good, but we need to change it a little bit. We have to adjust it. And so you can be asked to adjust your tribe this week. Now, the tribe can be the people that you chose, meaning your friends, or it can be the people that you didn't choose, meaning the ones you were born to. But both tribes do need to be adjusted. We also this week have Moon and Sag on Monday morning. It's void for an hour and change or so. Goes void at 2:35 on Monday afternoon in Sag, and it goes into Scorpio on the 21st, the 22nd, and the 23rd. It goes void at 8:04 p.m. That makes Monday afternoon, Tuesday, and Wednesday pretty intense days because the sun's in Sag on Uranus. Scorpio is not a happy placement, and it's going to want to tend to pick the negative version of things. So when someone comes to you and goes, go, are you focusing on the negative? And they are going to be. And you have to make that, help that Scorpio moon crawl out of the mud, because the negative assumptions are going to be running wild on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then we go into Sag moon on at 4:45 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that is a happy moon because the moon is a sextile to Neptune, so those are really productive days. And then the moon goes into Capricorn around 10 o'clock on Friday night, and it's in Capricorn next Saturday and Sunday. So those are very solid, reliable, dependable days. And on Sunday, of course, Venus leaves Aquarius and goes into Pisces. And then next week, we really rock and roll. The week of the 27th is going to be a big one. So this week, you want to get a lot of sleep, get a lot done, get a lot out the door, either releasing energy, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, saying no, 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 or yes, 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 Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday. Or Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, Sunday is yes, 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 days two, okay? But those are more weekdays. They are weekends, so we don't really do stuff. Next week, major week, clear your schedule. Give yourself space. People are going to be very emotional. We got a lot going on, and And just remember, this last one, Uranus into Pisces, 84 years. Next one's 164 years. These are two once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-two-lifetimes, in the case of the 164 years, once-in-two-lifetimes events that we're going to be experiencing in very short order, back-to-back. And, of course, because now the planets are in Aries, people are a little more feisty. They're not feeling quite so depressed and sad and lonely. Now they're in the mood to pick fights. Okay? So you don't have to go there. You can just look at them and go, let me take all this fire energy and go clean my closet or go clean out my hard drive or go take up an exercise program or start a diet or run around the block or do something positive with all that fire rather than fighting. Aries do like to fight, okay? So when there's this much fire in the sky, especially Aries fire, people are in the mood to argue. Don't have to do it. Don't. You can smile sweetly and go, I think we'll talk about this in the middle of April, and then pivot on your heel and walk away. Totally good way to handle it. Because really, nothing will be gained. Take that energy and use it to start something new rather than to fight with something old. Now, in the case of us bombing Libya and all those countries, boiling over with the fire energy, and in the case of the nuclear power reactor, we're going to actually know week after next if that reactor is not going to blow. And I have a bad feeling that it might. Or if it doesn't, we may have a companion earthquake on our side of the Ring of Fire. So we'll see. It's all a changing. So that's it. The show is over. The British lady has spoken. I know a half hour goes really fast. And once all this crazy energy calms down, we'll get back to taking callers. There's just so much to cover, and I don't have a lot of time to do it in. So my name is Ann Ortley, astrologer in New York, sitting here at my bright red desk. It's a beautiful spring night. I'm going to go out and sit by the river and watch the planets rise. Hope you have a great week. Remember, next week is crazy. This week is calm, so really get as much done from next week in this week as you can, because next week you're not going to be able to get as much done as you'd like to. And because it's much better to use the fire energy to do stuff with than to fight with. So walk away from the fights and drive that energy towards things you want to start. And take care. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good week. Bye.